Hey, it's Diane. It is May 7th. I'm here with the Noon Group. So far, we've got Melanie and Michelle and Jennifer. Let's start with celebrations and check-ins. Who wants to go first?
This is Jennifer. I will. As I said, that I'm celebrating zero assignments that are marked as NHI. He's waiting for a teacher who's going to drag it out for the very last minute before he can find out if he can waive his final in that class. And if he can, he'll be able to waive all four of his finals his senior year, which is what I'm hoping for. But then the other big check-in is he's ending the year the best ever in high school. He's getting four grades or over 90%. I was like, where was this kid 3 years ago?
He was struggling with executive function, right?
And he still is, but
yeah,
he seems more motivated that he can see the end.
Absolutely. Well, congratulations. That's awesome, Jennifer. I know it's been a long road for you, and it feels good to be in this space.
Yeah.
Melanie, what about you?
I'm still kind of celebrating the new insights that I've gotten and how it's letting me relax around expectations and shoulds and being able to just kind of be more where she's at and support her where she needs to be. And she seems to be responding well to that. So, yeah.
Awesome. Great. Michelle, what about you? Oops, do you have us on mute by any chance?
I did have you on mute. I am celebrating that we put a new system in place, and it's for the evening ritual, and it seems to be working. We knew that my 9-year-old was capable of showering himself and getting himself ready for bedtime, but it seemed to be a struggle at night because we were the ones leading the charge on what time that needed to happen and how quickly it needed to happen. And it just created a mess and not. I don't care how long it takes you. I don't care what time it gets done. It just needs to be done by 8 o'clock. And it's working. So, celebrating.
Awesome. Love that. Congratulations. So.
Thanks.
Are you at the place where you're rinsing and repeating? Do you have a sense of where you want to take aim for the conversation, Michelle, today?
Well, there's still some scaffolding that goes on with this situation because, you know, he knows it's 8 o'clock, but some days it's like, oh, I thought I just needed to be out of the shower by 8. And it's like, no, you have to have everything done by 8. So there's still some of that. So we're still working on it, but it seems to be resonating that this is my expectation, and I can work with that and create some independence at the same time.
Cool. So you want to work on increasing independence and managing the scaffolding in order to keep things going smoothly?
Yes.
Awesome. Melanie, where are you taking aim today?
Where am I taking aim? Not sure yet. Let me think a little bit more.
Okay. Jennifer, what about you?
I'm not sure. Probably to relax and step back and realize that there isn't going to be a next year for all this same old stuff. But it's going to be a new year of new stuff to have to.
So
help.
Jennifer, does that mean you want to take aim on enjoying the last month here as you're finishing up the school year?
Yeah, we'll say that. Enjoying, at least he's got probably 4 days. If he ends up waiving everything, he has 4 days of school left, or less than three. So, yeah, just enjoying this month, enjoying it with him as, you know, job well done. Being excited in his excitement. Sorry.
Yeah. So maybe part of what, this is what's coming up for me, obviously, because I'm going through some of the same sorts of stuff, Jennifer, is that, you know, it's like, how do you set your intention for the next, you know, several months, you know, between now as he finishes up and as he's moving into the next phase of the work? And what do you think about creating, you know, creating some intention for yourself about what you, how you want to be, or how you want it, what you, what's going to be most important, those sorts of things?
Yeah, that's probably good. Need to
What's the emotion around?
Yeah.
Jennifer, can you articulate what the emotion's around?
I think it's just that. He's grown up. He's done it, despite the schools, despite me, you know, or not despite me, but with me and his dad, and he's getting more of a independence about him.
Yeah. Melanie, can I go back to you?
Yeah, yeah. So I think where I want to take aim on is the self-care so that I have more resilience at the end of the day.
So you're noticing that you're worn out at the end of the day, and you
I
want
notice,
to be able to
I'm noticing
like
that
energy.
I'm worn out at the end of the day. Yeah, and how that's showing up right now is as I'm having a harder time getting myself to bed and then resting once I'm there, which of course isn't doing a great job of setting the next day up.
Yeah, so I'm going to challenge you to dance with focusing on self-care and then dance with maybe not using self-care as the solution, but really kind of staying more with the challenge, because something else might show up that
okay.
has a little bit of a different thing. Because a lot of times that word self-care,
yeah.
you get locked into kind of how it's supposed to look and what is it supposed to feel like and that sort of stuff. And it may be that there's something in today's conversation for you that's a, either a different spin or a different way of looking at it.
Yeah. Cool. I guess another way of looking at taking aim is just like managing the intensity I feel around needing to learn more about what's going on with my kid.
So it's the intensity of research, of needing to know.
Yeah, of needing to research, and that has to fit into the times that she's not around. So it's been going into the late night, and it's intruding on my work because, like, it's just what I want to do, right? It's like I've got a serious hyper-focus going.
Yeah. Okay. So it is, I guess the question is, Is it about end-of-day resilience, or is it really about this intensity that you have around doing all this research?
It could be just it's this intensity, you know. And okay. Some of it is about just, you know, I've been learning to just ride with it when I get in the grip of one of these, because fighting it is not necessarily the best way. But
yeah,
it's hard.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool. Awesome. Someone joined us from, it looks like, 847 area code. Who's this?
Hi, it's Stephanie Padley.
Hey, Stephanie.
Hey, I almost forgot about that. Go ahead.
Quick check-in and celebration.
Sure. I kind of forgot about the call today until I was driving home and went, shoot, it's 11. So that's kind of been our week. I've not been feeling well, and my six-year-old hasn't been feeling well. But my son, Jean-Paul, who has ADHD, we actually met a new doctor just before Easter, and trying a new medication, and right now in life that has seemed to make a positive impact. Well, hold on. I'm sorry, that's the three-year-old in the car. Hold on 1 second, let me see if I can.
Hope, are you there?
Okay, there I am. Sorry. I'm sorry, guys.
Right.
Can you hear me now? Okay.
There you go.
So the new medication, as much as that's not always the answer, has helped in the busyness of the springtime at least manage symptoms a little bit better and be able to have a little bit more dialogue with him, which has been good. So we've just been working on those interactions with siblings and, you know, not having those huge reactions to things in life. And we did, after last week, talk a little bit about bedtime and about mornings, and he said, yes, he'd like to try to get up earlier, but I didn't do as well actually getting him up earlier to have the time this week, just with people not feeling well. So some little victories, but definitely some work to do yet. So
Awesome. So, Stephanie, have you been on a call with us before?
Last week was our first one, so that was a question and answer one. So,
awesome. Well, we're glad, and glad to have you in PSS. So
yeah.
Cool. So we do check-ins and celebrations, and then we're going to go ahead and move on in. So,
okay.
Where do you so do you, the concept of taking aim? I don't know, kind of how much of Sanity School you've got through. Do you feel like you understand that? If not, I can help you take aim. What do you feel like
yeah.
taking aim on?
I think, let's see. I think in knowing there's only like a little over a week of school left for us, I think this week is trying to just, it's hard to like, you know, to work on a morning routine when you know that's going to change here in a week is, doesn't necessarily seem like maybe the best approach. I think right now we're just taking aim of that, some of that. We talked about tone in our home, just working on how we all interact with each other, which is a little shift from last week, but just in, you know, being kind, you know, we feel like that tone in general in our home could use some improvement in how we interact and talk with each other and how we respond to each other. So my husband and I had talked about wanting to work on that, you know, kind of as one of our first things to kind of see if it improves the family in general.
Well, that makes sense. The tone of the home, and I'm going to challenge you just because it makes it easier if you can pick a particular time of day that it tends to be a little bit more difficult or a particular scenario. I mean, I was thinking about Melanie was talking about end of day and resilience. I don't know if you heard her conversation, but, you know, it's like that sort of, is it around dinner time? Is it, you know, getting the kids out the door in the morning? Where can you narrow in the tone of the home a little bit for the conversation today?
I think for today, or I think in general, to start with would be that, like, yeah, that after school kind of dinner time where it's kind of chaos and no one really wants to listen, and then to try to finish up homework or other tasks that need to get done is definitely been a hard, that I think that's probably our most challenging time of the day is that kind of afternoon, into dinner time, to try to get everyone to sit down and actually eat dinner together and stay long enough at the table to actually have a conversation has been a challenge lately. So,
okay. So tone at the dinner table, it sounds like.
Sure. Yes.
Is where you want to go. Okay. Perfect. All right. So I'm looking to make sure nobody else joined us. Awesome. So I'm on page 52 of the workbook because we're in May. I think that's the right page. Yep, it is. So we're talking about non-judgment. And non-judgment is like one of those kind of, you either love it or you're like, it makes you crazy. But it's such an important tool to help with positivity. And where it tends to hit people is in two areas. One is in triggers. So it's like if we're like, oh, my gosh, this shouldn't be happening. This is terrible. I've got to, this has to change. Disrespectful kids, right? So that's sort of, you can't talk to me this way, or these kids shouldn't be treating us this way. If you go in with this place of judging, why are you doing this? This is so terrible. Your reaction is going to be very different than if you can go in from a place of curiosity. And so a lot of times we'll suggest that you replace judgment with curiosity. And instead of saying, what were you thinking or why did you do this? You ask yourself even, what is it about this situation that was hard for my kid? Or what does my child need right now? And judgment comes in a lot of different forms. A lot of times we judge ourselves. So it's like if we have kids whose behavior is not the way we wish it was, we kind of go, oh, my gosh, I must have been a bad mom, or I must not have done the right thing as a parent. Or we tend to – sometimes I was on a phone with a parent this week, and they were judging the school, and the school wasn't handling it well. And it's this sort of – we get into this mindset where things become right, wrong, good, bad. And what's most likely to happen is that we're going to get triggered. Or as Melanie was talking about a little bit earlier, we get hyper-focused on fixing. And those are kind of the same sort of things. So if you think about triggers and the way the brain works, we talk about this a lot, but the problem-solving part of our brain is in the front, right? And that's where we want to stay. That's where we want to spend the majority of our time because we're creative and we're curious and we're making things happening and we're partnering with our kids and collaborating and working well with our co-parents or whoever it is. The minute we start to get overwhelmed or upset and judgment tends to do this to us as we ruminate or we worry or we, kind of get critical or get in fix-it mode, we tend to go into more of the midbrain or the lower part of our brain. And so the midbrain might be worry and emotions. It might be bad habits. It's like, we fall into some of the habits I noticed the other day because it's the end of the year. It's kind of stressful at our house. My old habits of micromanaging my kid kind of kicked back in. And fortunately, we're at a place where he was able to say, hey, Mom, this sounds a little bit like micromanaging, and I'm not sure you want to do that. Do you want to take a deep breath? So it's that sort of the minute you notice some of those old habits come in, that's a good indication that you might have sunk into more of a fix-it judgment mode. And then especially when we get triggered, the right, wrong, good, bad, black and white thinking is all about triggers. And so it's a great way to check yourself when you notice yourself getting into this sort of, I've got to fix this. This has to change right now. It's an important component of it. And so judgment is one of those things. If we can stay out of judgment and stay in neutral, and neutral might be, gee, I don't like that this is going on, but it's not an emergency and the world won't end if I fix it right, if I don't get it fixed right now. You want to stay in a place where you're willing to consider that everything's going to be okay, even though this is going on. Because then if we can stay out of judgment, our ability to problem solve is completely different. So what comes up for you guys around this idea of judging either your kid or yourself?
Well, I think for me, I think it really resonates. Like, I feel like when I do jump to judgment that things don't necessarily get fixed any better or faster, and sometimes it actually makes things worse because then I'm so worked up and in a different place, that it's hard to, that when I've actually done the other and taken the step back, that things tend to work out better sooner and there's less stress in general for everyone. If I allow for that to happen. So,
and it's not always easy, but it's a great place to try to stay in. Love that, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I think right.
Oh, go ahead. Go ahead.
I think for me, sometimes right now, it's that like learning how to talk with my husband about like habits that I might notice that trigger like my son and in him, because my husband and my son are very similar. And so, how do I do that lovingly with my spouse to stay united with, you know, together with the kids has been an area where it's been a bit of a challenge to, you know, because I know I have my own issues that I'm sure trigger and cause issues too. And so, how do I, you know, just do that kindly, so to speak? So,
yeah. Well, and sometimes it's a co-parent who's jumping to judgment. And so it's that sort of, how do we help them manage and stay in collaborative problem solving mode? Other thoughts?
This is Michelle. First thing that came to my mind is guilty of all of them. I think I switched from my car to my earbuds. So I just kind of go from A to Z, from a 0 to a 10 when I get triggered. And it's hard. And my husband has pointed out that I do that even when I really, really, really try. It's like, your words are saying one thing, but your face is saying another.
Well, it's the difference between pretend calm and real calm, right? So a lot of times we'll modulate our voice so that we don't sound like we're yelling, but we're actually yelling inside. Does that resonate, Michelle?
Oh, definitely. Yes.
Yes. So give me an example of something that tends to set you off.
It's usually the mornings. It's probably time constrained is the trigger. And it's just, have you done this? Have you done that? You have 5 minutes until the bus and you haven't started eating yet. Your lunch isn't ready. You know, just all these, the chaos of the morning
yep.
that usually
okay.
will trigger me faster than anything.
Okay, so there's lots of opportunities for judgment in that, right? So what are some of the shoulds that that voice in your head brings along in the morning?
Like the shoulds of what I should do or what I am thinking he should be doing?
All of the above. We're looking for shoulds. Judgment tend to hide themselves in shoulds. So here's a great example. We should be at school on time.
Yes. He wears a watch. He should be aware of the time.
He should be aware of the time. Okay, what else?
I should have gotten ready quicker myself. And he should be able to look around and see what needs to be done.
Okay.
To get to the
bus. Those are
on
great
time.
Examples, right? So a couple of them are judgments of him and his behavior, and some of them are judgments of you and what happened in the moment. A lot of times we do the same thing as like, I should have stayed calm, or I should have this, you know, it's this sort of idea.
Mm-hmm.
So what's an alternative thought that you could put? So trigger management is about thought management, right? So if you can, it's almost like brainwashing yourself. So if you can let go of the judgment and embrace something else, even saying something like, wow, isn't it interesting that he's having such a hard time with time management?
Okay.
What could change?
Um, I always want to jump to the solutions part. So I think I could view things a little differently, just be a little more open-minded. I don't know. I'm having trouble with that question.
Well, that's really interesting. So if your MO, and a lot of us are like this stuff, Michelle, is like, okay, I got to find an idea. So if he has a hard time with time management, here's what we're going to do, and here's the solution, right? And
yes.
that's because there's a story in our head that we have to fix it right now, right? There's got to be a solution. There's going to be one solution. It's going to work. How willing are you to believe that there could be 20 solutions and 15 of them might work tomorrow and then 5 of them might work the next day?
That's kind of the story of my life, yes. I would
okay.
say I jump
and
the
so
solutions.
And so if you stay in a place of, instead of I've got to find the answer right now, to, okay, what do I try next? I just had this thought about, who is it? Is it Thomas Edison? Who found a 100 different ways not to make a light bulb before he made the light bulb.
Yeah.
So it's like, well, that didn't work, and that didn't work, and that didn't work. You know, it's if you can stay in that place of out of the judgment of it and into the exploration of it, what happens to your mornings?
I think they definitely have a different tone. I think it's, you know, more of a conversation as opposed to a reaction. You know, what could we have done differently? Should we have gotten up earlier? Are those appropriate answers? I don't know.
Well, even what do we want to try tomorrow? What worked, you know, is the
okay.
classic what worked, what didn't, what do we want to try tomorrow? You know, what's
okay.
our goal? Trying to be on the same page. You know, it's that exploration. But again, it's the, if you can stay out of the judgment and the need to find the right answer.
Right.
And the main goal here, it sounds like for you underneath all of this, is how do you stay calm? And I wonder if you didn't have to solve it right now, how much more able would you be to stay calm?
Much more able. Much yeah. more able to stay calm. Yeah.
Love that. Other thoughts? Around non-judgment or around non-judgment and how it helps triggers or doesn't help triggers?
Melanie here. I'm just drawn back again to non-judgment being a practice. And my favorite trap to fall into is judging myself for being judgmental.
I love that. Yes. Oh, my gosh. Here I am. I'm being judgmental again. I'm terrible.
Exactly. I'm terrible at this non-judgmental thing.
Yeah. So how do you – what are your tools for – the word lightness just pops into my head. That might be a little too soft here. But it's like, how do you give yourself a break, Melanie?
It literally is finding ways to unclench the mental muscles, you know, just like letting go. And it's just iterative. I just have to keep trying.
Yeah, there's a couple of phrases that are popped in into my head. One of them is, nothing is broken.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Another one is, I don't have to fix this red hot minute. The other
oh,
one is
but
I
can
fix
so
I can
hard
figure this
to,
out. Go ahead.
It's just so hard to avoid the temptation.
What's the temptation?
The temptation to like figure it out right now.
Well, there's the temptation because you feel like you should be able to celebrate right now? Or is the temptation because you want to check it off your list? What's the temptation, Melanie?
I think, well, the urgency is coming from the fact that her therapist is going on maternity leave in another week and a half. We're approaching her last visit with her current psychiatrist before he rolls off his fellowship and we get the next one. And we're currently scheduling her 504 meeting. So I feel like I need to have this sorted enough in my mind so that I know what I'm asking for at these, you know, three critical transition points.
Okay. So what if you don't have to have it all figured out in order to ask for the right thing?
That would be scary.
What's scary about it?
It's another look into the, let's call it the abyss of not knowing.
So you're judging not knowing as bad. Is that fair?
As scary.
Okay. So not knowing is scary. So you know enough about yourself to know that if you have the answers, it helps you manage your fear.
Yes. It also helps me act more skillfully in the moment.
Okay. So it's hard with this, right? Because it's one of those situations where we may never know the answers, right? We may never know what's right in it. And if our tool in our toolbox is, well, if I figure out how to solve this, then I won't be worried.
Right. Yeah, whereas I think I'm up against an unsolvable and a place where, you know, human knowledge is very limited.
Well, and not only that, but you've got an evolving, I mean, this is the thing, it's like we've got an evolving child, human being here.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about, I mean, and I think that this is the thing, and you've got a diagnosis, Melanie, with your kid, as well as many of the rest of us, is that a lot of these are not black and white things. I mean, it's not like insulin where we're looking for the titration of the, and I'm oversimplifying diabetes, forgive me, but you know, you're working for the right titration of insulin and they'll be fine. That's not what this is about. And I think that the question is, what thought do you put in your head about information that isn't it about finding all the answers?
I think it's a combination of finding, well, what I want is other people to see what I'm seeing. And
so that
when my child has challenging behaviors, they can also see her compassionately as acting out of fear and desperation instead of out of, you know, it comes back to how do I help other people take the naughty versus neurological lens.
Okay, so hang on a second. So what you really want is for other people to have compassion for your daughter.
Yeah, and for me, for how effing hard this is.
Okay. So that feels like a hard sort of thing. It's like, because you're like, how do I get somebody else to feel compassion? And there's lots of people that if we educate them, it'll bring compassion. There's other people that if we just share our experience, it'll bring them to a place of compassion. There's other people that it doesn't matter whether we jump up and down and stand on our head and cross our eyes. Their ability to get to a place of compassion is nothing to do with us.
Yeah.
And so I guess the question is that if you have a goal of controlling somebody else's emotions,
I don't think I do.
I'm gonna say it that way just to kind of take it to the extreme here, which is okay, I got to do everything I can to make sure that these people have compassion for my daughter. It's very different than educating them to the best of my ability in the moment when the information comes. What changes if we make it a little softer?
What changes is how clearly I can see the emotional work that I still need to do around this.
Okay. So what's the emotional work?
I think there's some grieving. I think there's some just sitting to see what unfolds.
Yeah. Well, and it's hard to sit in that not doing place. I mean, I think for most of us, when we're grieving or we're feeling disempowered, because here's the thing, it's really about disempowerment, right? So it's sort of, I can't fix this for my kid. I can't change this overnight. Naughty versus neurological. There's no right answer. I mean, all of these things, it's easy to go to the place where we go, oh my gosh, I can't fix this. There's no magic titration like there might be for insulin. And when we get disempowered, we feel like we need to take action. And that helps us feel less disempowered. It's like, well, if I can do something, then I'll feel better because I can't fix it. And so the question is, what's in your toolbox of things to do that feels lighter rather than, oh my gosh, I got to do all this research so that in case maybe I can fix it, I've done all the research I can.
I don't know.
Where'd you go?
Yeah, I you know, it's just back to not knowing. There's something that feels very necessary about the research, and I can't quite quantify what that is yet.
How will you know when you're done, Melanie?
The internal pressure will ease up. And
so,
yeah, it's a very intuitive thing.
Who's in charge of the pressure? Who's in charge of the pressure?
That's a good one.
Can I give you a challenge?
I'll listen to it.
Okay. You can say no. The challenge is to focus on letting the pressure off and not on figuring out the answer. Because you know if the pressure's off you, then your ability to perform will be different.
That's not quite resonating, but I'll sit with that.
Okay. All right. Other thoughts? Where does judgment show up for you guys?
Where does what show up?
Judgment.
I think some nights for me, it's that that homework piece of like, well, I know last night you sat down and did this homework in 5 minutes, and it's essentially the same homework, and why tonight is it taking you an hour and a half, and we've tried everything else. So I think sometimes in that, like, judging for me, it would be the same amount of time, but you know, not always having that patience then of why is it different for you tonight, so to speak.
So how do you flip that into a question of curiosity instead of judgment? So that word why can be shifted, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how would you shift that from judgment to curiosity?
So the question to him might be of what's preventing you from getting your homework done?
Or maybe even lighter. What is it about today that's making homework harder than normal?
Okay. That's a good way, yeah.
Or what does he need right now?
Mm-hmm.
In this moment? You know, because it's that sort of, does he need food? Does he need exercise? Does he need a break? Does he need a hug? Does he need a, you know, it's that sort of, you know, what are a few things that he might need right now,
mm-hmm.
that would get him, and then again, it's a space. It's not get his homework done, but get him into space where he can get his homework done. And those are two different pieces, because a lot of times what happens is our kids get triggered or overwhelmed, and so their ability to get their homework done is impacted. So the goal becomes not getting the homework done, but getting our kids into a space where they can get their homework done. Does that distinction make sense?
Yeah, no, it definitely does. Yeah, I think that's been part of the challenge with the siblings, is trying to be able to finish that thought and that process with him and not get interrupted. But yeah, so definitely that makes sense. So.
Yeah. Cool. Other thoughts? Jennifer, you've been really quiet.
I know. I think I'm the worst person to judge myself too much.
It's an easy space to get into.
Pardon me?
So it's an easy space to get into.
Yeah. You'd think it would stop, or
so I guess if we use curiosity to replace judgment. Right, so it's like, what is it that's making it hard for me to do what I want to do right now? Or what if I really am a good mom? And this is just my reality, you know, that what if what's happening around me right now has nothing to do with whether I'm a good mom? That's kind of the equivalent, that's the mom equivalent of naughty versus neurological.
Right.
Could you say that one more time, Diane, please?
I'm not sure. A lot of times when that stuff shows up, it's like it's inspired. So what if what's going on around me has nothing to do with whether or not I'm a good mom? Does that resonate for anyone?
Yeah, I think I want that in neon.
Because we're all doing amazing work as moms. I can tell you without a doubt. I have never been in, is it true? I've never been in any of your houses other than I've seen inside Melanie's house because I've been on video with her before. You guys are amazing moms just because you're here. You're doing something. You're taking action. You're trying and persevering and being creative and being intuitive and all of these things. And judging yourself as needing to be on top of everything, for most of us, doesn't help at all. In fact, it just kind of drives us into the ground. Put down the stick. That's what I always say. It's like we're beating ourselves up. Put down the stick. Give ourselves some grace. Whatever the mom equivalent or dad, if you're listening and you're a dad, I don't want to exclude you, but the parent equivalent of naughty versus neurological is, we're doing the best we can in the moment. Doesn't mean we don't want to learn from our mistakes and do better next time. But pushing ourselves to be perfect or pushing ourselves and judging ourselves because things didn't work out the way we hoped they would, rarely does anything other than throw us into a panic. Other thoughts on this before we shift to the closing questions? Okay, we are on page 53. So take a minute, take some notes on the four closing questions. What did I focus on or pay most attention to today? What's my clarity or takeaway? What's an aha that I had? What's a realistic action step for me to take? And how do I set myself up for success with this action? Would love to hear from each of you at least one aha and one action item. Whenever you're ready, let's jump in.
I'll go, Michelle. I think my aha was listening to everyone else. I can relate to everybody. I've been the one that spends hours on the internet researching. I've been the one who feels guilty because I'm a working mom and maybe I'm not doing everything I can do if I was at home in the afternoons all the time and I didn't have to rush out the door some mornings. So I can relate to. Oh, and the homework, why can't you do this today? Why is it taking so long? Been there, all of them. So my aha was that I'm certainly not in it alone, and that these are all areas that I struggle. And I think my takeaway is that in the moments to probably start by taking a deep breath. I think that's my action step, is to pause and take a deep breath before I react.
Awesome. Pause and take a deep breath. I think I need that too. Who's next?
Melanie, I think my aha is the ways in which the research is covering up some of the other things. It's like, you know, my go-to cover-up method. And I think I'll be trotting this one to to my therapist tomorrow.
Awesome. Glad you've got a space that you can take it. Let me know if I can help somehow, Melanie, okay?
All right, thanks.
Who else?
This is Stephanie. I think, yeah, the ahas, what you said, that, you know, we are good moms, or I am a good mom, you know, potentially despite what else may be going on around, you know, and giving yourself that grace and that space to, you know, to be okay with that. And then, you know, I think my action step, I think I agree that the taking a deep breath this week as life gets crazy for a few weeks at the end of school is probably a good part to start. And then just, you know, and when I do overreact, taking that time to talk about it later with whoever may be involved and apologize if I need to, or discuss how we could not have it gotten to that point if that's an option with that person.
Yeah. Well, and I want to challenge us all in that pause, because you're right, that pause is so important. Take a deep breath. But part of what I heard from everybody on this call is this self-judgment, right? And so maybe in that breath we go, what do I need right now? You know, what do I need? A break? Do I need a, you know, a little bit of grace? Do I, you know, it's that sort of remember yourself in the process instead of, you know, as you're taking the deep breath and being patient with your kid, take the deep breath and be patient with yourself and kind of put yourself back into the mix. It is Mother's Day weekend after all. Jennifer, I think you're going to wrap us up.
I believe that.
Oh, I think we lost her. Any other, did I get everybody? I did. We lost Jennifer. She sometimes has to hang up right at one. So thank you so much for being on the call today. Great conversation. You guys are all amazing moms, and I don't want you to forget it. And we'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
Thank you.
Thanks, everybody.
All right. Thanks.
Thanks.